welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 299, take two, of the Self-Help Podcast. With me, Ed Lamb, and me very patient and understanding...
Hiya.
...friend, Sean Orford. How are you doing?
I'm fine, I'm okay.
Yeah, we just we had a bit of a technical issue.
We had a technical issue.
We lost only 6 minutes of
only six
recording.
Minutes. Oh, but they were absolute pearls.
Record, it was Sean that knocked the microphone cable and it crashed everything and we lost. But live and learn, eh? And maybe I will get a new computer.
Yeah, I think if you had a new computer where the socket worked, might
Anyway, we're talking about Dosh this week, aren't we?
We are.
Lord knows I could do with a bit of that to
you
buy
could,
a new computer.
Your computer, yeah.
And talking about taxes and charity and whether it's all right, like, to earn money on a scale. In the same kind of level as yourself, for sure.
Yeah, because I'm so rich.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a sec. Liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links and previous episodes. They're all on there. Sign up to our mailing list for alerts for the show. And it's actually episode 300 next week, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it's also next week.
Celebration.
It's International Women's Day.
Yeah, we try to remember what we said, didn't we, last time?
Yeah,
but
so
it is. Anne-Marie has threatened... to come on the
yes,
show.
Yes, we're officially saying that Ree has said that she might. So we'll put a bit of pressure on there. She might come on the show next week and represent women on International Women's Day.
Yeah. I know a woman too. I'm married to one. She might come on as well.
Do you think? Yeah.
What would we talk about?
Women.
In relation. Anything in particular? Or just.
Yeah. I think we need to let them create the agenda.
Let the women decide, definitely. Yeah. Okay, cool. So Ree's coming on next week. It's official.
It looks like it, doesn't it?
Send us emails and messages.
She'll probably
and
kill me now. Which
that'd be cool. What have you been up to? All well?
Yeah, I've been away for the week in the Yorkshire Dales because it was my birthday because I was 27 again.
Happy birthday. What are the odds of that? Yeah, very
which
good.
Which is amazing. And I have to do this because I did it last time, is I got a watch that's got Mickey Mouse on it. When I press the button, he goes...
It's 10:29.
Hey,
very good.
The last time I did that, the first recording, it was 10:14.
So we've moved on a little bit.
We moved on.
Time does, yeah, ticking away endlessly.
So what have you been doing?
We had half term last week, so I had a week at home, really, with the kiddies, and we went out for a couple of days out, West Kirby and Delamere Forest, and I refelted my shed roof.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is actually quite satisfying, quite a good little project, although it hasn't rained. Since
how many sheets of felt did you use?
I just used one. Why are you supposed to put more than one on?
Yeah, two is used to good.
Really? Okay. I didn't say that on the blooming instructions, man.
No, one's all right as long as you don't make too many holes with the nails.
Okay.
And you seal it.
Yeah, I didn't put too many in. And I used all that special...
Gungy,
black, horrible stuff.
Yeah, environmentally friendly.
Yeah, poured the rest of it down the drain, yeah. Obviously. I didn't do that. But it hasn't rained yet because we're having a very nice little warm summer spell.
Which is really weird.
In winter, aren't we?
But is that global warming?
Well, it probably is, yeah, but I don't know.
And we have forest fires up on Saddleworth Moor, which is
in February.
Not a nice place anyway because that's where Brady buried the bodies up there, didn't it?
Ooh, right,
which
okay.
is not good.
Bad energy up there.
Yeah, weird place.
Anyway. Do you want to have a little read of a listener email?
Yeah, I got this email, and it says, just had an intense discussion with my dad. He firmly believes that no one should have too much money. Money that people have when they have a lot of money, it's been acquired in bad ways, he says.
Okay.
And that's an interesting attitude, isn't it? Do we see people that have a lot of money as being somehow different to us, being dishonest, being bad?
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a simplistic statement, and you know, we are going to discuss right now people that have a lot of money that do great things with it. Our listener's response to that was,
well, she's saying that she believes that if you gain a lot of money, you can gain a lot of power, and power is how we can influence people at the top and cause real change in the world through educating people on love, kindness, and logic. And she was saying that her father doesn't believe that that's possible, and that she should be realistic, and see money as a negative thing, not as a positive thing. But what she's saying, and I think this is, I buy this as well, she's saying that for her, money is like a magnifying glass that makes you more of what you are already. So that if you're a bad person, you've got lots of dosh, it gives you the opportunity or more power to be more bad. If you're a good person, it gives you the chance to be more good.
Yep.
And I would go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Short answer. Yeah, I agree. But we haven't... So in the UK and around the world, actually, I've been looking online at how countries tax their citizens and what levels. Trump came up with this, obviously, false statements, you know, in the last couple of years. It's so hard to keep up with them all, where he said that citizens of the US were the highest taxed in the world, and then obviously people went off, researched it, and turns out that they're actually one of the lowest taxed countries, average of like 26% of income.
If you look at the UK, they always reckon that we pay, by the time you've paid VAT and all the other bits of tax that you pay, that you give back about half of what you earn goes back into the pot.
Yep.
And the highest tax areas being Scandinavia. And their justification for that is, I actually found a quote here that says, if you want to have a working community with an infrastructure that has all kinds of social benefits and you live in a civilised world, then you have to pay taxes.
Yeah.
And they're very much like that. But their thing is that their average tax rate is 44% on general income, whereas ours is as low as 20% or less if you earn not a lot. And their highest rate of tax is 62%, whereas ours is only 40%. Yeah, our VAT is 17.5, is it?
20.
Is it 20? We're up to 20. Okay.
Yeah.
Theirs is 25 on the VAT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember when the VAT rate went up because I had not long started charging VAT for my... through my business and all, I had to change all the settings in my account and stuff,
yeah,
so I could
yeah.
make it 20. And you know, I had to send a few emails to clients. Obviously, you were aware that it was coming anyway, but
yeah.
The prices were going to be going up. And you know, that was probably 4 or 5 years ago. And no one's batted an eyelid since.
An eyelid.
So we quickly get used to these things, don't we? But I think in the UK, we're kind of in this opposite way. We're kind of this race to the bottom, and it's quite... The word tax has quite negative connotations, doesn't it? Like someone's trying to take your hard
earned. A tax collector is a thief.
Yeah,
it's that kind of idea.
Like he's trying. Whereas I think it needs a bit of a rebrand. It needs a bit of thought into how we view tax and how it's sold to people. Bethan gets this annual P something.
P60
showing how much tax she's paid. And it's really fascinating. On the reverse side of it, it has this chart or breaking down, you know, say £8,000 has been taken from her salary, and it breaks it down into what was spent. So half is on like healthcare for the country, half, a little bit is for welfare, local authority stuff, blah 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 blah. And then right at the bottom, which I always like to see, is the EU contribution. So it's like £50 out of this huge was to pay for our EU, so which is obviously completely ground our political system to a halt for this tiny little percentage of what everyone pays.
Mm.
We've managed to tie ourselves in knots over.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting, I think. But, yeah, I think tax needs a bit of a rebrand, because when you see what your money is going towards, you kind of you think, oh, that's fine, that's cool, because you feel like you're involved.
Maybe that only works, though. If you voted in a government and you believe in their policies, you might be willing to pay their taxes.
Mm.
Whereas if the other party got in that you didn't vote for and they want to spend money on this, that and the other, you might be outraged at it.
Yeah, on HS2 or big schemes like that,
yeah.
That divide opinion big time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very complicated, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's this guy, Rutger Bregman, who's been going viral a bit online on Facebook, on YouTube. So he's a historian. Clearly knows his stuff on tax and politics. Youngish chap, and he was at Davos a few weeks ago for the great and the good of politics and finance meet to discuss the state of the world and all that stuff, and they arrive in their private jets and helicopters, and he sat in this little panel of, I think it was a room full of billionaires basically, and he
billionaires
called them all out, and I'll put the link in the show notes, basically saying that we can talk all we want about inequality, about what we need to do, about this, that and the other, and these tiny little levers we can pull, but ultimately what we need to talk about is taxes. We need higher taxes. And he was going, taxes, 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 and this thing's gone around the world like virally. And the usual argument is that, from maybe someone that leans to the right of politics slightly, is that show me a time when higher taxes coincided with, you know, prosperity for societies. Mm. And he comes straight back with 1950s and 60s America, when the top rate of tax was 75%.
Ouch.
And that coincided with, you know, the boom time and in it for industry then, and obviously we're kind of reaping the consequences of that now, environmentally perhaps, but that was good times in America. That was what, when I think when Trump says something like make America great again, he harks back to that era of American, you know, prosperity, mm. where, you know, everyone had their nice big house with a front yard and a car. Mm. And high taxes were high then. They were at 75% on wealthy people. So why not do it again, man? Mm. And that was a Republican president, Roosevelt, I think. Have a look at the video.
One of the things that it makes me think about again is something that we talked about a little while ago, which is about my feelings about people that take benefits from the community should give back. They should do something for those benefits. Not kind of to be harassed, but to just genuinely have an exchange of energy. You know, okay, we support you, we pay your bills, do that. What are you going to do for us? Kind of stuff. And I think that idea that if you're earning a reasonable amount of money, you should pay a reasonable amount of tax, actually fits in for me with the idea that if you're taking benefits, then you need to contribute as well. You know, because I think what happens is the people that are paying tax feel like they're giving it away.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a contribution to a collective pot that we're all involved in.
Yep.
You know?
It's interesting. I mean, is it £10,000 you earn now is tax-free, I think?
So yeah, it's up to £11,800 you get tax-free.
Yeah, so low-income earners is tax-free, which is cool, man. I think that's a really, really good idea. I guess, what we really need to discuss is a lack of vision for, I know, not just in society in the UK, but like globally, we kind of lack a central kind of vision for humanity, don't we? Of what the end goal is for everyone. Is it, you know, for me, I would like a world without borders, which is why I'm quite tied to the European Union idea of kind of freedom of movement. And you can, chop and choose, go where you want. I'd like that on a global scale, but you know, I realise that there are good arguments on the other side as why that is not a great idea in terms of security and that kind of thing. But we do lack that overall vision, don't we, for humanity? And is that an impossible thing to achieve just because there are so many, you know, we're talking about millions, billions of people with different cultures and ideas? And
but if you look at the spectrum between capitalism and communism, you know, the idea that in a true communist state is everything is a shared asset, and there are no people that are greater than anybody else in theory, and it doesn't turn out, as opposed to a capitalist system where, and which is a bit that I think is a bit odd. It's like if you live in a capitalist system and then people act in capitalist ways, we start to get angry about it, because people talk about insider trading, and insider trading for me is taking a capitalist advantage of something and making profit, which is what capitalism's about. Mm. And I don't really get what the fuss is. If you're a communist and people are doing insider trading, then that's really wrong, because that's against the system. Mm. But the idea of a capitalist system is make as much as you can as quickly as you can. Isn't it? You know?
Yep.
And then when people do that, we say it's bad or they're bad.
Mm.
You know?
When all they're doing is exploiting the system that's been set up to do just that.
Yeah, I mean, if I make HP sauce and I invent it and everybody likes it and I flog loads of it and make millions and billions of pounds, does that make me a bad person?
Mm.
If I just exploited the population because they like brown sauce?
Are chaps like Bill Gates, who obviously has made an insane amount of money but seems to be investing it all back in very you know, really healthy ways.
Yeah, I mean, the medical institute that he runs does a phenomenal amount of research.
Yeah.
I mean, he really does do a phenomenal amount of research, and all his money, all his spare dosh, goes back into that. Mm. I mean, he's very clear about the fact that he's not going to pass it on to his kids, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, they've got to make their own way in the world. Mm. Which is kind of fair enough. Because, I mean, that's one of the things, isn't it, about a capitalist system, where you get this hierarchy of people. And especially in our world, where we have the upper classes, that pass on their wealth. I mean, we're still in that crazy situation where people own the whole of London or the whole of a county somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, why? Where did that come from?
Yeah, I was watching, I saw The Favourite at the weekend. You know, Olivia Colman just won the Oscar for Best Actress.
Was it good?
Very good. Yeah. Very funny.
Yeah.
But like really dark humour. Mm. And that era of time, even if you were Queen or one of the wealthy aristocrat dudes, it was really grim. It portrayed a really grim life back then. I think she had gout and all sorts, and she was ill all the time. Yeah. And it was, you know, so even if you had a lot of money back then, it wasn't all, you know, our lives now, me and you, probably everyone living within a 10-mile radius of Birkenhead Centre here, has a higher standard of living than, you know, the royalty back then. So we made huge progress, to be fair. We should stop and appreciate that, shouldn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess the ultimate question is, yeah, I mean, on this topic, do we trust people to do the right thing, or do we trust governments or bigger organisations? There is, you know, part of the Brexit Trump thing at the moment is a lack of trust in the system, that the systems that we've created over.
But the reason that you have laws is because you don't trust other people to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. So you're making laws to stop people acting in certain ways, which is a basic kind of fundamental, I guess, if you have those kinds of beliefs. If everybody was doing the right thing, but we'd all have to agree what the right thing was, then there would be no need for laws, because people would just be doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, so that as soon as you get a difference of opinion, then you get a difference of attitude, then we get you and me, us and them, and then I keep my resources for us, and everybody else can sod off. Mm. So that's when you start to get this separation, and does wealth become a bad thing? I mean, there's a thing in Islam where if you go to bed with a full belly whilst the people in the house next door are hungry, then that's wrong in the eyes of God, in the eyes of Allah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you shouldn't do that. The Christian model was always that you should give away 10% of your net income to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do that?
You know. Yep, 10%, probably not. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've got a few direct debits going out each month in standing orders.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably not quite 10%, to be fair. And I'm a churchgoer, man.
Mm.
Regular-ish churchgoer. Mm. What was I going to say? I can't remember. Oh, yeah, right, so, I mean...
Alzheimer's.
There's a charity for that. In the UK... We've had this, well, nearly 10 years of austerity here, and we had, you know, it's over 10 years since the financial crash of 08, which was good fun, and it still leaves its legacy everywhere. So, do you think austerity, when it ends, things will just instantly be better? I mean, I see in Birkenhead, you know, and on the Wirral, the breakdown in services that our council here can... Alpha, and you know, I think even now they're trying to save 45 million. Wirral Council is trying to save £45 million from the budget somehow, which has already been stretched massively. You must see as well, working in the health service, the effects of
huge
strained budgets.
But also the it's the hot potato, it's the Brexit potato. If you just look around here, Liverpool, the amount of regeneration in Liverpool, all the Wirral comes out, that's been funded by the European Community.
This building you're in right now, this was EU funded.
Yep.
ERDF funding. Yeah. So it's everywhere, isn't it, man? For Besson's 45, 50 quid a year donation to the EU fund.
Hmm.
We got so much stuff out of it. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
But that money that goes to the EU, that we pay to the EU, you can see that as a tax. So we're taxed into the big pool, into the big system. But how much of it comes back out again?
Yeah,
we pay tax to the government. How much comes out in terms of health or roads or whatever? Mm-hmm. You know, and we're saying that our health is getting a bit dodgy and the roads are full of potholes and, you know.
Don't get me started on road tax.
and then the idea about, we used to have rubbish collections every week and now they're every fortnight.
Yeah.
You know, are they going to extend out?
Yeah, actually, I think there are. I was reading in Wales, actually, they're cracking down on people that don't recycle. There's one in five people, I don't know if that's national or just in Wales, don't recycle at all. They just bung everything into the green or whatever colour bin is the general stuff. So, you know, there's bin police going around now and you'll get a warning. If you're found putting recycling stuff in the wrong bin, you get a fine. And then leading towards less regular bin collections as a whole, partly to save cash, but also to get people thinking about using so much crap for the sake of it, so that we're not just jamming our bins full of stuff every day. We're actually thinking more about how we can aim not to fill the bin every week, but to try and lessen our impact.
But does that mean that we should actually be going to the supermarket and getting them to stop wrapping everything in stuff that...
Yeah, for sure. I was actually helping on a project at Birkenhead Market, which they want to hopefully make the market there, regenerate it, and make it a zero-waste market. And there's one shop in there run by Emily, who I was interviewing last week. Yeah. And I can't remember the name of her shop, but it's a zero-waste shop, so it's got big containers full of pasta and lentils and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's things you can buy, like bamboo toothbrushes and cleaning products that are all really environmentally well-off. So that is coming. So I wonder when we're going to have our first zero-waste aisle in a major supermarket like Tesco or Asda.
Yeah,
not far off. It'll trickle down, eh?
I noticed I was in Oxton the other day in Greens, the grocers, and there was a sign up in there that said they're trying to make Oxton into... so there's no single plastic use in Oxton at all.
Wow.
In the whole of the village.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Right, okay, I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah.
Just up the road, innit? So there'll be schemes like that going on all around the country.
Yeah.
So when we put our minds to it, I'm guessing those are kind of not... council government-led projects there. That's just individual business owners saying that they need to do something, funding it themselves through their own.
Well, the bags that they now use in Greens are paper bags, where they used to be plastic bags.
So. So when we put our mind to it, we can do these things ourselves. But we do need authorities, don't we, to kind of oversee spending on roads and all that. Like.
Yeah, and there are some big potholes around at the moment. We were playing pothole dodging the other day.
Yeah.
And it was a bit crazy, you know. I think that if we go back to the beginning, the issue about is money a bad thing, I'm sticking with that idea that the listener threw in, that money's just a magnifying glass. And it's like if you're a twit and you get a lot of money, you can just be a bigger twit. You know, if you're a good soul, you get a lot of money, you can be a bigger good soul.
Yep.
You know, and it's like that. And anybody with any amount of money can be generous or can be mean, can't they?
It's
up to them.
So if you're cool, go and some dosh and do some good things with it, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your resource?
Well, my resource is a Guardian article, which is about 10 things that you need to know about tax, which is quite funny because it tells you about all kinds of things. Like, you'll read it, so I'll say it anyway, but our mate Red Ken, who was a good Labour man, actually ended up opening his own company in a tax haven so he could reduce his tax liabilities from 50% to 20%. You know, now, how does that fit with being a good Labour person?
Yeah, a good socialist.
A good socialist.
Okay.
Yeah, so but there's lots of things like that, but it explains where your tax goes as well, you know, what it's spent on, which is good.
Wicked. Yeah. I'm going to link to... I'm the chairman at the Royal Society of the Blind, and we need dosh at the moment. Like, we need funding. Well, we've had funding things run out, and we couldn't extend them for various reasons. And the squeeze on the charity is really hard at the moment, so I've been crunching some numbers. And I've figured out that if we get 100 supporters at the charity to find five people... in their life to give £10 a month to charity. That's 60 grand a year, which is like half the amount needed to kind of support the charity at its basic level. And the rest we'll get from other areas, businesses and funding applications. So I'm going to put a link to the Just Giving donation page, and if you can find it in your hearts out there to give a regular amount, it doesn't have to be a tenner a month, it could be less, that would make a huge difference to the charity's finances, and it will take a lot of pressure off the staff who are kind of stressing a lot about where the next pot of money is going to come from, because the pots of money out there are drying up. So yeah, if you can have a little look at it and donate.
So will that charity be affected by Brexit if we crash out?
Not directly, you know, indirectly, you know, if we're looking at kind of a contraction of our economy, then it will do, and it will be affected, because the strain on services will be tougher, and the mental health of the staff. So yeah, it will be, but not directly, I guess.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, good one.
I'll put the link in. Livingthepresent.co.uk. Next week we'll be back with Ree. Definitely, maybe.
And just a quick update on the next book that I've been writing.
Yes.
It is desperately close to finishing.
All right, okay.
I'm on chapter 24.
Can you have it ready by next week?
I've got two to go. It might even be ready
by next week. Maybe we could get a little teaser out, like an intro to it.
You never know. It's a weird one, this book.
Ooh. All right, cool. Excited. Okay. Marvellous. All right, Sean, have a good week.
And you, take care.
See you later.
Bye.